from MLU headquarters in Philadelphia.
You should go underneath it.
Oh, way out deep!
This is Cleats and Cuffy.
Hit man! Oh, what a hit that one! Murray!
Everything ultimate, from the field to the border, with Jeff Snyder and Nick Dark.
Hang it up there! Oh, yes!
Hello,
Mr. Graham!
All right, so we're here from the new recording. Live studio, well, not live, but taping.
There's nothing live about it.
Okay, well, it's live.
We're never doing this live.
Okay.
I don't trust you.
What are you talking about? You're not this live.
I don't trust you. Your brain and your mouth connection.
So it's been a while since we've done this. We've been together.
It's been quite a while.
And I'd like to say that just as this overall statement of why it's been a while, it's because you are the worst.
It's probably 90% true. Okay. We also have been doing some traveling.
But you got
doing
sick.
Doing some other work. I'm just going to distract you from...
You got plague sick.
I did get plague sick. I got briefly plague sick.
We were ready to record and you got plague sick.
Yep.
You
that was unpleasant.
You were, things were coming out of you and all. It was terrible.
It was bad. I
was fine.
Yeah, well, your immune system. Robust.
Very strong.
Even germs can't stand to be near you.
Well, germs just adore you.
They love me. Very lovable.
So what we're going to do is we're going to, now that we're recording this with our... Because it's people will need to see these faces. That's what we determined.
Yeah,
we did a poll.
I don't
think
we're right, but we determined that.
I thought we did a poll of a couple million people.
We asked at least 2 people.
Okay, and they both said we would like to see your faces.
Yeah, well, yeah. My sense that possibly they just want to see us fail more visibly
in front of people. I'm fine with that. So we're going to post segments up onto YouTube so they can take and watch us.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I like that. Okay, so look, lots of things have happened since we last were together. I went to the DC Current Championship party.
Oh, yeah?
I think at the Green Turtle.
Yeah, you did get to go to that.
It was good.
Nice time?
I've learned. I did have a good time. Good. They're all good people there. The whole crew was there. I got to meet Matt Dewhurst's wife.
Okay.
Right? And
Mrs. Dewey?
Mrs. Dewey. And she's so cool. Right? I didn't think Dewey could get cool, but he got
he
so cool.
Expect it.
Right? No, he agrees with this. He's
like, did he outkick his coverage a little bit, is what you're saying?
He did. Okay. She was so great. So lots of people there. It was great. Coach Moldenauer wasn't there, which is a bummer.
Oh, that's a shame.
But one thing I learned about this. So I'm wearing a button shirt.
Yeah.
I learned about the different types of buttons you could have. So if you button your shirt all the way up to the top, you know, the collar's buttoned?
Yeah.
That's called a Daymeray, after Paul Daymeray.
I don't think that's true.
No, he buttons them all the way to the top.
He does go to the top.
That's a Daymeray button.
Who did you learn this from?
I invented it.
Oh, okay.
Half an hour before
you
the
learned it from yourself.
If you do just one button, that's darling.
That's darling.
That's your standard darling.
I do a single button.
Two buttons, it's a Snyder.
Yeah, you like to show off a little bit of the chest.
Three buttons or more is a Schaffner.
That's a Schaffner.
he can't button
anything.
He
goes right down to the belly button.
None of his shirts are. Just button them up. Man. I mean, he's a good looking kid, but come on.
Yeah.
Like, just,
yeah.
So anyway, that's now you know when you look at somebody, you can determine if they have a Daymeray, a Darling, a Snyder, or a Schaffner.
A Schaffner, all right. It's good to know. It's good to know. I feel like I've learned something already today. So
we're
off to a good start.
We did have a good time. The bar tab was did not get me in trouble. I stayed in budget.
You stayed in budget.
But let's just say I was right on it. if there was a dartboard, I hit the red circle.
You're right in the double bullseye in terms of hitting your budget for bar tab. I like that.
They drink a lot. Over there,
yeah, it's that kind of town. There's good beverages, good beer down in DC. I like to get down there.
Now, the funny story, which is not funny, but it'll bring you joy.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm with our dear MLU Greg.
MLU Greg,
and I'm with our dear MLU Tom.
MLU Tom,
the shortest and the tallest guy in the office.
That is funny.
There it is. I always bring. Well, I like that variation. We leave the party at 10:45.
Yes,
to go get our car. So we can drive
yes.
home. But our car is in a parking garage, and the parking garage is locked. Every door completely shut. So there's a little voice box thing. See, this makes thank you. I'm so glad you have it. A little voice box thing. You press a little button so you can talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Just ask them how things are going in there. They can unlock the door.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
And you press a little button. The person got back to us 3-4 seconds. Impressive how quickly they got back to us to tell us that there was no chance whatsoever that they were going to open that door. I'm like, why did you respond so quickly? I would rather that you took 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And to come right back and say, I'm here. I'm
or
ready.
Even not at all. Like, give me a recording.
Yeah. But why are you so ready to answer my question, but not at all willing to let me to my car?
Where is that person is kind of my question. Where is the garage intercom person?
I don't know.
Hmm.
So they wouldn't let us in our car, so we slept in a hotel, which that was fun.
Yeah, but I remember the next day that you guys weren't there in the morning.
Because I had a meeting at 10.
There was some confusion, yeah.
So it was painful. So then, after that very fun party, again, with there's pictures. Actually, Schaffner unbuttoned me to a Schaffner buttoning. Oof. Which I was like, oh, come on. Yeah. You can be a little nicer than that. It wasn't that bad. I was, all right. No one should Schaffner me, okay? I should just say
let's
Snader.
Let's just admit that Snader's the right spot for you.
It's actually probably one
you might want to move up to darling.
Oh, man, I want you to get sick again. So after that, I went to the New York party. It was really a party. It was a New York gathering. Because I'm going around meeting all the teams.
Yeah,
so important. I talk about the 2015 season.
Getting out to the West Coast soon, too.
Of course.
Right? Yeah.
Of course, that's end of the year, beginning of the year, right? So got to see all the familiar faces, Michelle Kondracki. They also had Anthony Duarte, the new assistant GM. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
I know. Funny how things come around. We've talked to him for years now. Coach was there. Lots of players. Of course, Mazur. Nice guy. He's like the nicest guy in the world.
He's a very nice guy. So. Always taller than I expect him to be. There's something about how nice he is that makes me think he's going to be short. And then I see him. I'm like, he's not a tall man, but he's taller than I expect. Let's leave it that way. For a ginger, he's kind of tall.
For a gingy. Now, I took Dave Pennypacker with me.
You did.
So he was my...
I didn't know that Dave went with you.
I'm going to give him a shout out because he drove me there and I got sick because of you.
I don't think that was my fault.
That was your fault. I'm sick, so I'm not feeling well at all. But I stuck it out. I did my job, unlike you. What did I say? So I went there and he drove me there and back. And we stopped for Burger King. We had a nice dinner together.
Chauffeur Pennypacker.
All right. Now here's what makes me happy.
Oh boy.
This is something I have on you for the rest of my life. Is at one point, someone said, how come Nick Darling is just sitting at the end of the table and not talking to anybody? Yeah, they thought you were him. That made me so happy. They mistaked you for Dave Pennypacker.
Oh, that is...
It hurts a little bit. I never told you that story till right now, live on air. It's not live, I know.
No,
live on air.
No offense to Dave, but that's the worst thing you've said to me. No offense, Dave. Sounds offensive, but no offense.
Even though it's very funny, it was only one guy, and all the rest of the guys like, that's not Nick, you idiot.
How dark was it? Was it really dark?
It was dark. No, it was the Frankfurt Hall of New York.
Oh, you were in one of the beer gardens.
Mm-hmm. So if you, I don't know how to describe it. Maybe you can describe it. If you're in Philly, Frankfurt Hall is pretty much the coolest place you can go to in Northern Liberties area, right? It's outdoor and indoor at the same
time. It's certainly
a
place we like. Yeah, a little indoor-outdoor beer gardens, ping pong tables.
And it's all German.
German beers. And some local stuff, too.
And German food. So this is the same thing.
German food, brats.
If you're in Philly, you got to go to Frankfurt Hall. In fact, we're there once a day. So that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So those are my trips. How about you? What have you been doing with yourself there, Nicholas?
Well, I mean, we've been... you know, it's been a busy time period, obviously, as it always is. And we went down to the USDGC,
the U.S.
Disc Golf Championships down in South Carolina, just in South Carolina, a little below Rock Hill, I believe. Rock Hill, South Carolina, a little below Charlotte. And you and I went down there, a nice invite from the good people at Innova. And yes. It was I can tell you what an event. What a well-run event. We've traveled around the course with the final grouping on the final day and had everything.
It was
drama,
really
lead changes, 1,000 people walking around the course watching these guys play with us. Just really, really a great time.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool event. $50,000 purse there from Innova.
$50,000 purse.
Yeah, it was
what a world.
People are going to get mad at me for saying this, but if you play Ultimate Frisbee, you should go to the USDGC. And then you should see how they do. And then you'll be like, oh, wow, that's something. That is the way. That's what it should be done like. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was a very, very good time. Very cool event. And, you know, it's the first time I've been to a professional disc golf event. And I was astounded by the ability of the people out there.
They're so good.
Yeah.
It's really I mean, I was telling them that. I said, you should get any Frisbee player out here. Because it is so easy to respect what they can do with a disc. And it looks so hard. And at the same time, it's not as hard as golf, where you can just, you know, you can just not hit a golf ball at all and hit it to the woods. So you can lose a disc in disc golf, but you're still going to get there and not be terrible. But to be good is ridiculous.
Yeah, you make a good point. I think as a recreational sport, it's fantastic. Like if you guys haven't played disc golf, which I assume probably most of you have at some point, get out there and play. And you can take anyone. because they're not going to be so frustrated that they want to kill you by the end of it.
Right.
Unlike real golf, which can certainly lead that way, which I also love.
Real golf is great, but it's just way harder. Like, if you take a novice, someone who's never played golf before, it's just like, look, you're going to swing at it, and we'll
pick it up eventually,
yeah,
and carry it to the green for you.
And this would be similar. I mean, it's hard.
It is hard.
If you can throw, if you're a frisbee player, you won't be terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you won't be so bad that it'll be frustrating. You'll be terrible.
Yeah, and get really hard. Get out there to Dick's or to, you know, online any place. You can buy the three disc set, the starter kit that they have for disc golf. Yes. Little driver, mid-range putter. Give it a go.
Which I'm going to brag about and say they sent us starter kits that have more than three discs.
Well, we're pretty special.
Yes, we're very special. Should we get into our first segment?
Yeah, we've been speaking for quite a while. I think that'd be a good idea.
Okay. So we have four segments today. First one, we're going to talk about MLU PAC.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what that is, take a guess right now.
It's not a political action committee. I'm going to tell you that much right now. We're getting there. Our lobbying efforts will begin soon, but we're not quite. That's 2016.
2016.
Yeah.
I agree with that. It's good. Segment two, we're going to talk about the 2015 season budget.
Not an overview.
Overview. Yeah, we're going to go through line by line.
We're not going to send out a spreadsheet. Yeah, everybody open your spreadsheets.
2003. Segment three.
Segment three.
Is an interview with David Cucciolapati.
Yeah.
Who's got a new position.
Oh, yeah.
Now. Congratulations.
Well deserved. We'll get to it.
And segment four is questions.
Questions.
Okay.
Questions asked, questions answered.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, segment one, MLU PAC. You want to say what it is?
MLU PAC is the MLU Player Advisory Committee.
What's it do?
Well, the idea is that we wanted to create a committee that would engage players more in the processes of running a successful league and provide them better levels of communication between the league offices and the players at large. We want to create a mechanism to deliver news and to updates and also to get feedback from the players on things like rules and the player contracts and, you know, all the other guidelines that we put together for it.
Yeah, see, one of the problems that we, and for certain me directly, saw was that the only method for communication or the only avenue for a player really was to use their GM.
Right.
And the problem there is the GM needs to be focused on completely different things. They need to be focused on revenue, tickets, merchandise, all those things. And, you know, player welfare is important, obviously, but not shouldn't be for them. They need to be doing the business side of it. So the problem is that the GM being the only avenue for that creates a lot of work for the GM, and then it also the only other way a player could communicate with me is to have my email. But of course, they would all realize, and they do. Every player that has my email, when they email me, it becomes overwhelming. You can't answer all these questions. So what we said is, we need to have a direct line of communication with players. So by creating this, what we're going to have is one representative or two. We're still actually working out that detail, but one to two representatives per team that sit on a committee, and then two representatives, one East Coast, one West Coast, which will meet directly with me once per year or twice per year. Still working that out. Hopefully twice per year. And this is directly meeting. So yeah. Sitting down at the
this
table.
This is actually in person. Mm-hmm.
And then once per month, we're going to have committee meetings. We're going to get together and talk about, you know, set up an agenda and have items to go through, which allows us to, all the players can gather thoughts, questions, ideas, everything. And we can then sit down at the table and talk through it. It allows us to communicate things like the budget to them, restrictions, abilities, things we're not able to do. And then they get to see a more clear picture. I think you said this yesterday. Everybody wants to know more. And it's really hard to communicate that, especially in a way where it's safe to communicate it too. You know, there's a lot of things we don't need the whole public knowing. So you need to be confident in how you can talk about stuff because this is business.
Yep.
So I'm excited about this because it's going to, what I think, is take us to a whole nother level of communication where players feel as though they have a voice and they do have a voice and we can work to make the league better and we can lessen the distraction to their GM because they want their GM getting people to the stadium, not worrying about, you know, anything else having to do with players.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really one of the things I'm most excited about is exactly that. GMs have so much to do. They have to get people to the stadiums. They have to properly activate sponsors. They have to worry about how merchandise is moving, concessions. You know, day to day, they have a lot of stuff on their plate. And I think you're right. I think too often they were also having to do the job of being a liaison between the players and the league. And we're creating a new pipeline for that kind of information in both directions. It wasn't just players coming to GMs and distracting them. We had to go to GMs to tell stuff to players. Now we have a way to create a more direct line, and I think it's going to be very productive. Yeah. And you know what I've also found, you know, through the player survey and through talking to players, we find that players also want to help in ways off the field. They want to help bring people into the stands. They want to help attract sponsorship. They want to help, you know, run clinics and do stuff with kids. And a lot of times, because of the amount of stuff that's going on and the amount of work that everyone is doing, the ways to provide that help aren't communicated as directly as they could be. And I think this is going to be a great mechanism for not only giving players a voice, but for also giving them direct ways that they can affect the future growth of the MLU and our success going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited in every way. It's a really good thing. And a big thank you and shout out to Billy Maroon.
Yep.
So he has been instrumental in the creation of it. And also Dan Vogel.
Dan Vogel, definitely.
Very helpful. Both of them saw a way in which to put it together that it would work with our league. And it was great. It was just, it's nice everything that happened. And I'm so looking forward to this because, you know, I love talking with the players. But this gives me a way to communicate that is, and actually everybody, you, when you have to talk, everyone yeah. that needs to talk to players has a way to do it in an effective way. And the players can, you know, can now have expectations on their reps. You know, a rep has to be good and pass information on and do all their things. And we've already gotten, you know, plenty of people who want to be on that that committee.
Yeah, we have people stepping up already and saying that they're willing to serve there. So, you know, we're going to figure out, once we get everybody who's willing to do it, how we pick those people, if there's a voting structure, that sort of thing, is stuff that we're still nailing down the specifics of. But we're getting there.
It's going to be awesome. So if you have any questions about MLU Pack, hit us up, Cleats and Cufflinks, at Cleats Cufflinks.
On Twitter.
At Jeff Snader, at Nick Darling. No K.
No K in that, Nick.
No K. Nick Darling. Everybody knows that. Why am I telling them?
You know, got to make sure.
All right, segment two.
Segment two.
2015 budget.
Yeah.
So we passed the budget for 2015.
And that's all we can tell you.
And segment three. Passing a budget is like passing a kidney stone. Okay. Now, let me segue to say my wife has a kidney stone.
Is that too personal a bit of information to put out there?
No, is that too bad?
I don't know.
Sorry, wife.
Just go with it.
No, it's okay. So she, well, it's not okay. She comes, I'm sitting down on the couch, and she comes out of the bedroom, and she walks downstairs, and I'm like, what is it? You could just tell. Like,
I'm like, you look like we're about to pass a budget.
Did you just pass a budget? She's holding her side. I really knew what it was right away. She's holding her back. What's, you know, your kidney is, you know, there's no real muscle there, so you know that it's like, it doesn't make sense.
That's what hurts, yeah.
And I was like, uh-oh. And so it actually got to a point where we called her hospital. She's a nurse. We called her hospital, and someone came and picked her up.
Wow.
So I was gonna go. So we have two kids. We have the new kid, the 3-month old.
Got the new
old.
Kid, so and, we the, decided, and the older kid, the used model.
The used, yeah. So we were gonna. I, you know, if we didn't have kids, I would have just drove her over there. But instead, I was like, I'll stay here so the kids can just sleep.
Continue sleeping because this is what, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she went to the hospital and she got back at 6 a.m. and they said she had a kidney stone the size of 6 mm. So my brain said, "Oh, it's 6 mm. That's nothing." But if you look, go ahead. I just want you, in your brain, picture 6 mm.
Just do a little comparative anatomy on that one, or however you want to put it.
But if you have a little, if you have a tape measure pulled out, because that's my wife did, it's the size of a pencil eraser.
Eesh.
Coming out of your urethra.
Eesh.
So,
okay, just, so how did we get on this?
Because passing a budget is like passing a kidney stone. I want people to know how bad this is. Now, you should also know, and don't look this up, that if you type in kidney stones and go to the images part, some of them have spikes.
A variety of different shapes.
Yeah, some of them look like a blowfish.
Yeah.
Some of them look like a watermelon seed.
So
these are things you don't want to...
So metaphorically, let's compare this. What kind of kidney stone did we pass when we passed this
budget? A blowfish. A full-size blowfish.
Full-size blowfish.
No, it was not that
An
bad.
An angry, frightened blowfish.
It wasn't that bad. It's a tedious thing, but not that bad. But yeah. Wonderful. And in this whole thing, This is jumping a peek ahead to our next segment, but we made some changes to operationally to how the MLU worked, and we promoted David Cucciolapati from GM of the Boston Whitecaps to VP of Operations for the MLU.
Yeah.
And congratulations to him on a wonderful,
well-deserved
promotion.
Big congratulations. Definitely.
It was awesome. Which, of course, leaves the Boston GM position open. So that's
that is true.
It's pretty wild. We're going to have
a little plug out there, people. If you're in the mood for probably the biggest challenge of your life,
yeah.
but also the most rewarding, we do have a Boston GM position available.
Yeah, I would argue without you, whatever. But people say, I'm just saying it because. But Boston has incredible potential.
Oh.
Boston has a huge, huge base, and if it gets activated right, it will lead the league in whatever it wants to lead the league. It's the same way I feel about Seattle. Seattle and Boston both have these incredible potentials to them. And
yep.
Once it's unlocked, it's over, baby. It's,
yeah,
it's going to be a
no question about
play.
It.
I mean, look at Boston sports. You're born with a Red Sox hat on, right?
Yeah, which has got to be uncomfortable.
It can be for everybody.
Yeah.
The Patriots, their stadium's in Foxborough. I think everybody thinks that Foxborough is like just a name. It's in Fox, not near. It's not really that great of a stadium to get to.
Yeah.
And it's packed every time.
They fill that up, yeah.
The Celtics, I don't know much about them. To be honest, like their stadium, all that stuff. But you know, when they
Larry Bird,
I mean, yeah,
that's all. Everyone I know. Has that's it. The history.
It's just the Bruins. They're like the quintessential sports town. Which remember,
they're a massive
Bruins
sports
fans. The Philadelphia Flyers beat them once. The Bruins were up 3-0 in the conference finals, and the Flyers beat them 4-3. In Game 7, the Flyers were down 3-0 and beat them 4-3.
Are you trying to start a fight?
I am behind a microphone, my friend. So anyway,
yeah, great Boston. Boston.
Come on, you know I love Boston. Hey, okay, so let's talk about what it takes to pass a budget. So we all kind of have our area, right?
It takes money.
It takes money.
And that's an important thing to start with, and I think not something to, you know, rush past. I think, you know, when you run a startup company, and particularly a startup league, there's always questions. How's next year going? How's the year after going to go? How's the year after that going to go? And while we have a good understanding of that and a good grasp on that, it's not stuff that we're all that public about because it's not the position we're in right now. But we know where we're headed and where we're going. And so the very fact that we've passed a budget, I think, answers some of those questions, at least for next year. And in our minds, has answered those questions for the next 3 to 5 years at a minimum.
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to say this. I feel quite strongly about and proud of the business we do. And this is the entire organization. We just do good business. We have a tight budget. We always do.
Oh, yeah.
We have a plan to grow this that is much more grassroots I hate the word conservative, but it just is a...
Everybody says conservative.
Everybody says it, but it's...
We're lean. Everybody says lean, too. Lean's just a big one.
We just... People come into sports, and they throw money around, and they lose it. And with meeting with our mentors and people we've talked to, I think about this every day. The guy who said, sports can humble the wealthiest billionaire. And the most business savvy billionaire. That's what he said, because it's that hard. It's like, yeah, it's so hard because it can. There's no end to the amount of money you can put in.
Mm-hmm.
Like if we were building widgets, right? You can build only so many widgets that would make sense, and then you can market those widgets, and there it is. But in sports, you can pay money in every avenue, almost to no end. Like there's so many ways to just throw away money, and you need to be smart about it. And we've seen it league after league, team after team. You hear about it all the time. And so anyway, I'm proud of the investors we have. We got a good group. And it's solidified us here for many years. And that's exciting.
Definitely.
So you're right. So number one thing is to get money. Then two is to allocate how you're going to use that money and how you're going to do the things that make people want to put in more money. And this is from every avenue. Your customers, your investors, your sponsors. Sponsors. I want to talk about that.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay. but it's everything comes down. business. Do you ever watch Shark Tank?
I don't. You talk to me about Shark Tank a lot. I feel like I've seen it a number of times.
Do you not watch it because I watch it?
It's the biggest reason. Yeah. I don't watch a lot of television programs. I watch my footy, my soccer.
Okay. You should stop doing that. That's boring. It'll never catch
I do
on.
That. Yeah, that sport's not going anywhere.
Most likes on Facebook. Can we do real quick? Who do you think, what person do you think has the most likes on Facebook?
Most likes on Facebook.
Okay, you get 5 seconds.
5 seconds. One.
Okay,
two.
They're done.
They're done.
More.
That's it.
It's Cristiano Ronaldo.
Cristiano Ronaldo just clicked over the 100 million like mark today to take the lead over, I believe, Shakira.
Man, who knew?
Yeah.
So anyway, soccer has caught on.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Where were we? Where,
I don't know. So off topic there.
Where was going with it?
Well, we're talking about this. How do we allocate money in a budget? How do we make those kinds of decisions? And how do we, you know, value the different parts of our operation in terms of trying to get the results that we need, which is more money coming in from investors, sponsors, fans, etc. And that's, you know, that's really the meat of the budget process and probably the thing that takes the most time. I mean, we've worked on this for
months
now before we finally got to the point where we were able to pass it, nail it down, and be ready for 2015. When, by the way, I'm not shy about saying this, this is a very good year for us. This is the earliest that we've passed a full year budget. Gives us a lot of time to do the things we need to do for 2015. Makes me very excited. Because we can plan earlier, we can lock things in earlier, we can get moving earlier. And I think that's a credit, you know, to everyone on our staff for doing the work they needed to do to get these budget numbers in place, for everyone on the board for doing the work they needed to do to get them approved. And, yeah, it's just 2015.
Yeah,
we're in now.
I'll say this, too. We have never hit our goals in the budget. We haven't done poorly by any imagination. We've done great, great things. And we have set goals for ourselves that were hard to get to.
Yep.
But certainly were achievable. So they weren't, you know, so far out that it made no sense. And we have never hit them. So for us, we sat in the off season and said, we are going to make a goal that is not easy, but we're going to hit it this year. Because if we hit that goal, it's over. We're on fire. I'm excited to say, that's me knocking on wood. This is not wood.
There's some wood under here.
Goodness.
Under the desk.
Okay,
we gotta.
I think I'm a broken half.
Do you know that this weighs about half a pound?
This weighs less than an iPhone.
Yeah. You can just pick this up, hold it up to your ear.
Yeah. So, which actually, I bought the new iPhone 6 Plus.
It's about
and
this
I
size.
I feel like it's this size.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. In a couple avenues, one of them being sponsorship. Jonathan McQueen. And his team. My goodness. I don't know what happened in the last couple of weeks. I do know what happened. It was Jonathan McQueen. But lightning hit. And that's all I'm going to say right now. They are just... This is what we've learned in...
Isn't Lightning McQueen the...
Lightning McQueen.
The character from the...
Cars.
The Cars movie. Yeah. Yeah.
He's very fast. Lightning McQueen.
New nickname.
It makes Greg so happy. Greg is so happy.
Producer Greg. Very
producer
happy.
Producer Greg is so happy. Yeah. So. definitely better than kidney stone.
Yeah, Google Lightning McQueen instead of kidney stone pictures.
This is one thing I can tell you. If you're starting a business, you're doing something, is that when you get it right, all of a sudden the water starts flowing. Right? It just flows. And it's almost palpable. It's like, oh, this is what it feels like to have it right. And you can struggle around that for quite some time. As we've done, we have, sponsors first year, we had good ones. But we still struggled around acquiring them, activating them, all the good things, and we got it. We totally got it. And I don't know where it's going to end, but I can tell you that goal is the target's on it, and it's past it. Like, we realize what we can do now. And that's exciting. It's an exciting
feeling.
Very exciting. So that's one avenue where we feel like these 3 years of pain have or something great. We have something we can chase now, and we feel good about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's a lot of categories that are, you know, that we're looking at this year where we think, you know, we've learned enough, we've made enough mistakes, that we can target things and that we can hit those things this year. And I'm, like I said, I'm just excited. An earlier start. It's a beginning. We're beginning the season now.
Yes.
2015, baby.
It starts now, today. We also made the activation team, which I'm going to give you one compliment. Is that we ran out of time. Okay, we got to go to segment three. Look, I'm going to give you one comment. The activation, it's hard to describe. Most people don't know what activation is, but tell them what activation is.
Yeah, we talked about this a little, I think, on the podcast before, that sponsorship is not just taking someone's money and then calling them a sponsor. You have a lot of responsibilities back to them.
It's zero taking their money.
Zero.
Let's also bring this around, and maybe people remember this, but I did not know this.
Yeah.
I thought, and I bet you our listeners out there would agree, they would think sponsorship is when someone pays you $50,000 and you put their billboard up.
Right.
And that is what you do. And then they make a lot of money off of that, and then they pay you again next year. So that isn't true, apparently, right?
Really?
So tell them.
It's really incredibly untrue. Sponsorship money is essentially paying you to do work for the sponsor. That's what that money is for. It's a payment for services. And so the services are activation. And that can be a huge range of things. And that's what we try to do for our sponsors, is a really multi-channel approach where we're providing in-game activation. We're providing digital video activation, web presence, brand awareness on the web, and then custom things like custom events and custom build outs for these sponsors. And so in order to do that, we've had to take a look at operationally how we're going to accomplish these things, because as you said, the sales team is moving in a really positive direction. And while that's very, very good for the bottom line and very good for hitting our goals, it is a challenge for activation because it piles work.
Of course. And so, first of all, people should know that this takes almost a 20-person team, the entire thing, to make activation, even planning for it, work. The second thing is you have to make your customer money. They're a customer. A sponsor is a direct customer. So let's just say your customer is doing $1 million a year in gross revenue. If after partnering with you, they do $1.5 million, then you can say, I helped you get 50% growth. And they'll pay for that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of money for that.
Considerable
they'll,
amount.
They'll pay 20%, 35%, 40%, somewhere in that range. It's 10 to 40%, they'll pay for that. If you don't, you don't. Like, you get nothing. Doesn't matter how they may have paid. They could pay you here. They could pay you 50 grand. And then if you don't do anything, they're going to say, why would I ever do that again? Like, you did nothing.
Yeah.
To get some. So now think about this. Someone is going to pay you 20% of $500,000 because you're going to get them $500,000. How easy do you think it's going to be to get someone $500,000 of revenue? That's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take videos, commercials, all sorts of activation. And that's what we realized. Like, we got to do a lot of work to get a lot of money.
Absolutely right. And yeah, I mean, people are looking for good returns on these investments. It's an investment on the part of the sponsor. It's a marketing investment. It's an advertising investment. And, you know, they're going to be looking hard at your performance and at the ROI. So activation is not just turning on all the dials. It's also recording all the activity, making sure you can prove that you've executed what you said you were going to, and being able to show them the performance Yep. of those campaigns.
Now, let's talk about... I don't want to focus on the negative, but in terms of branding, and this is again your thing, congratulations. we're pretty awesome. Everybody knows the MLU brand is awesome, but in terms of advertising, we think we've sucked.
Right? Oh yeah, just terrible.
So we changed that this year. We said, okay, we're going to get professional. This is actually more of this is a 5-year plan, well, 3-year plan.
Yeah.
Starting off with a marketing campaign. Do you want to talk that just a bit? What are we going to do different in marketing?
Yeah, I think the big thing that we need to do is we needed professional help. So we've gone out and we found a couple of agencies that we like, and we're working with them on developing some plans to approach our marketing. The second thing is we need to prove what works and what doesn't. And we need to take that in a very scientific manner. And the best way to do that is to choose a market, choose two markets, focus our marketing attentions there, using the other markets as control groups, and be able to prove what campaigns work, what don't. And then as soon as you do that, you put them in all the markets. And then we go back and we do the same thing over again. So we're developing a plan now that will do that, that will take a market or two that we've identified as the places we can execute the best, run multi-channel marketing campaigns that are dynamic, so they shift along with what's being successful and what isn't. Take all the numbers and results from those campaigns at the end of the year and sit down and develop a marketing campaign based on those for the entire next season.
So what have we... Are you drinking my water?
I am going
People
to drink
can see
water.
This on... You can see, you just pour. You pour the water into your own glass, and then you drink from it.
How do you think you get sick?
You're so funny. You crack yourself up. So, you talked about the rollout. So we can admit that what we did, really for the prior years, is, and last year we rolled out 8 different marketing plans that were not good.
Well, what we did was we took what was a, as we've said before, a very lean, very conservative marketing budget, and we watered it down to the point of ineffectiveness. I think that's part of the problem. I think the other part of the problem...
GMs with it, right? We tasked GMs with doing something that they're not experts at, and they already had a million things to do.
Exactly. We put it on a plate. We put it on a plate that was already too full, and we didn't have the kind of expert advice and input that we needed behind it. So there were a lot of elements that I think that led to those campaigns being less successful than we would have liked. I think what we're doing this year is a big turnaround from that. And it's something that I'm very, very happy we were able to work through in our budgeting process. And, you know, again, that's what the process is all about. It's getting these elements all in place. And we've spoken about sponsorship, spoken about marketing. There are how many line items?
Oh, 104.
104 line items that
101,
we...
101.
101 line items that we had to deal with and go through. And these are two of them.
Yeah. Another good point to make there is this goes back to why sports can humble the most successful billionaire, is if you make a mistake in a rollout of sports, so you say, okay, I'm going to do this thing, and you have 8 teams, and we always count the MLU as an entity, so we have 9 entities. We make a mistake, it's multiplied by 9.
Yeah.
You have 30 teams like the NFL or something, it's multiplied by 30.
Yeah.
So you need to be really careful. So this year, we have come out with, like you said, the control and variables and certain things we're going to do so that we're going to test this. And if this hits right the way we're projecting, and again, we have all that we've learned. What is it, Thomas Edison said, how's the light bulb going? He goes, I know 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb. Yeah. I know 1,000 ways not to market this, right?
Yeah.
And not even to market it. And 1,000 ways to not run a proper campaign.
Yep.
So now that we have real professional help with this and professional vision, if this works the way we're projecting, anywhere close, boy, that'll be a lot of fun to roll out.
Ugh.
So, and you know, I can't promise anything. We don't know. Could take 3 years to get.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, this is not a short trajectory thing. We're not, you know, we know that to run this thing properly, we had to establish ourselves for a significant amount of time. Mm-hmm. If we were forced to try to prove that Ultimate is going to be the next great sport in the world in 2 or 3 years, well, we might as well not have started this in the first place. You need time, and you need to work at it. You need to put in the, you know, you need to make the mistakes, you need to have the successes, and you need to drive it forward. So we're, you know, again, we're in a great spot for what we need to be able to do, and we have the type of investors and the type of partners who see the long-term vision and are with us all the way through it.
Yep. So I'm excited. We got to get thousands and thousands of people to games.
Thousands of people.
And that's what we're focused on. So it's not small targets. It's, you know, we want to see some of these first games that are, or these first games in these targeted areas that we're still evaluating. So we don't have necessarily the areas picked.
Yep.
And we're working with the company on that. So thousands of people there.
Yeah.
Enough that it's like, holy Lord, like how did it happen? And we're upfront about that. You know, if it doesn't happen, it's on us. It's on us no matter what. So we have no problem with hanging it out there and saying, thousands upon thousands of people at these games we want to see. And you'll know if we hit it right by the first game.
You sure will.
Okay, so if you have more questions about the budget, you can hit us up. You can ask us.
Yeah, that was certainly just a spot kind of overview thing. You know, we're obviously not going to go through all 101 lines. But we wanted to give you an idea of the kind of the process and the overview. So.
And we're, you know, we're hyped about what's coming out in this next few months. And who knows, it might be some fun stuff for people.
There's definitely going to be some fun stuff.
By the way, the bad British commentary thing came out today. I was enjoying
it. Oh, yeah, I love that. You didn't get the best joke in there.
I don't get any of the jokes.
Which was my favorite thing.
So, but he's funny.
Yeah, bad British commentary. Look that up on the YouTube if you haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, you can go to the Twitter account soon. You can see
it. Yeah, we'll be posting about it.
All right, we're moving into an interview with the brand new Vice President of Operations, David Kuchalapati. This is a pre-recorded interview.
Yep, yeah, pre-recorded. It's you interviewing David because of our technical situation. One-on-one interviews work a lot better. So we're going to let you perform this interview.
Yep, so we're going to jump to that right now.
All right. Good luck.
All right, I'm here with David Kuchalapati. David, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. So, you know, we've got some exciting news with a big promotion for you. So we got a bunch of questions. And I want to start off with, so now you're not the GM anymore. So, but tell me, how was it being a GM last year?
Being a GM last year was a lot of fun. You know, being a GM for the past 2 years has been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of work, and there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into, you know, putting on the show for games and to putting together the team and all of that sort of stuff. But it was a really enjoyable experience, you know, from the top down.
That's great. And what are you going to miss most?
That's a good question. I think what I'm going to miss most, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I'll miss about it, but one of the things I think I'll miss most is watching the game from the sidelines with the team. And just the feeling, just, you know, it was sort of electric, you know, being on the sideline with the team in front of hundreds or sometimes even, you know, 1,000 or so fans is just an incredible experience. And getting that ground level view of the game as it's going on is just, you know, it's absolutely amazing. I think that is one of the things I'm going to miss the most about being a GM.
And you know that I can understand that too, being involved with the Spinners the first year. It's so electric, you know, being a part of it. So I give you a lot of credit for what you've done. And of course, stepping away, there's some new joys, but you know, I know from experience, you'll miss that quite a bit. And now, you need to, both of us, we're on the search to, you know, find a replacement GM. So what do you think the qualities are that we're looking for, that you're looking for in the next GM?
I think that's tough. There's a lot of qualities that make up a good GM. But I think the one biggest quality is vision. I think that we want to find someone who, you know, not just someone who can see the potential in the sport in Ultimate, and not just someone who can see the potential in the team and in the league, but someone who can, you know, see a way to make that potential a reality. It's a tough job, and there's a lot of stuff that goes along with it. But I think if someone has the vision and the drive to get things done, then they'll be very successful.
All right. I agree with you completely on that one. I think I'm excited to see who we find, and it's certainly going to be a tough vetting process, but I know we'll find somebody good. Boston's got lots of talent. So talking about your new role, VP of Operations in the MLU, you've moved up to the, you know, executive roundtable, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And I've also heard you got, like, the best boss in the whole world. It's just a rumor I heard.
yeah, he's pretty good.
So tell me, that, you know, the fans have no idea, you know, what goes on in operations. So give me an idea of the roles and responsibilities that are under you now.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff that goes on at the league level. So I sort of, one of my biggest responsibilities is to work with senior staff at the MLU and to, one of the biggest things is creating and keeping a budget for all eight teams and for the league, and to make sure that we stick to that budget throughout the year. You know, there's also a whole lot of stuff that goes on in buying and spending money. So that's one of the biggest parts. And then in addition to that, Part of my new job as vice president of operations is to work with all of the GMs, you know, across the league on both coasts, and to coordinate and to make sure that they've got all the resources and they've got all the information that they need to put on the best show they can for the fans.
Yeah, and it's great that you were a GM and got to see everything on the ground, and now you're up at the top. You know, and as a military guy, there's always a lot of respect when an officer had been, you know, enlisted or been in the infantry because they knew what life was like. So I think that there couldn't be anybody more perfect than you, having known everything that goes on the ground, to be over the top helping the GMs. And do you think that you'll – how often do you think you'll be coordinating with the GMs? Is it a monthly thing, weekly thing? What do you think?
Probably a daily thing, if not like a, you know, twice or three times or four times daily thing, talking to the GMs, you know, across the country, talking to our GMs and making sure that they've got, you know, everything they need and you know, all the ideas and stuff that they need to make their teams run is crucial. So, and communicating is crucial as well. So I think it's going to be pretty often.
That's great. Great, great. And then let's talk about goals. What is your biggest goal for the 2015 season?
I think my biggest goal for the 2015 season is just to make the MLU experience better. And what I mean by that is, you know, on the fan level, we want to make the game and games, you know, more exciting and more entertaining. Whether you're watching it on the live stream or on TV, or if you're going to the game and, you know, sitting in the stands. For players, it means making it more fun and making sure that they get more recognition, because we all know that the players in the MLU are some of the, you know, best player, ultimate players in the world, and they deserve more recognition. And for staff, I think it means making sure that they enjoy what they do. So overall, the big goal for me is to make the MLU experience better.
I like the answer, David. And I get to put you on the spot with one Boston question, because now you're stepping away as the GM. And, you know, Boston won it in the first year. They're in the playoffs in the second year. Do they make a run back to the title game?
I think they do make a run back to the title game. This past season, Boston played well, had some tough games on the road, but for us, it was a bit of a rebuilding year. And now in the 2015 season, Boston's going to come back with hopefully a lot more, you know, of the same staff and of the same players that we had in 2014. So I think going into 2015, Boston's going to be a strong team. I think they'll give every team on the East Coast and hopefully a team on the West Coast a good run for their money.
I like it. And, you know, a couple more things about Boston. It just Hormel Stadium was the new stadium last year, which I personally liked. Were you a big fan?
I was a very big fan of Hormel. It's close to Boston. It's got great people that work there, and it's, you know, I think the city of Medford's a real nice place to be as well. So I was a pretty big fan of Hormel.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it for two reasons. Number one was the parking lot's huge, and every time we went there, there was this big tailgate thing going on, and that to me just represents great sports. So I know that'll be even bigger this year, and that's a lot of fun. And the second thing was the staff there couldn't have been nicer. I mean, those guys were so helpful.
Yeah, the guys that work for the city of Medford, from the top down, really. You know, I was working with the athletic director of the schools there in Medford, and also working with the grounds crew at the field. And every single one of them was absolutely fantastic, helped us immensely throughout the season. Could not say more good things about them.
Now the downside, which is not your fault, but my God, how many downpours did we have to be in? I was only there twice, and I think three times, and it was a downpour twice, right?
I think it was three times over the course of the season. We had pretty rainy games.
Oh my God! There was one game where it rained so hard that if you just walked out into it, you were just wet. I remember you were out there. You were like the most dedicated guy, but you were in your nice, you know, your nice attire, and you were soaked all the way to the bone.
Yeah, there was the merchandise tent which almost flew away in the storm, so I had to pull that down, And when I finally did pull that down, I ended up walking into the locker room with the guys. And I remember John Hershberger, he hands me his towel because I'm just dripping wet. And I said, you know, Hersh, thank you, but I'm not sure it's going to help.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna wish lots of good luck to not only Boston's team but Boston weather, because that will be. And now I gotta give it to you. This, I remember the one game. It started just absolute. It was downpour, and I saw fans leaving. And I'm like, I can't blame them for leaving. It's terrible weather, and the rain stops, and the game continues. And I realized that hundreds of them were under the bleachers and came right back out and sat in their seats. And that made my day. So you got the most dedicated fans in Boston.
Oh, yeah. We have fantastic fans in Boston.
That's just a great one. I mean, everybody knows that. I think we were joking that you're born with a Red Sox hat on. Is that true?
I think that might be true.
David, thank you so much. Obviously, I'm excited about us working together this year and all the great things to come and the improvements we'll make in operations. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, David. Talk to you soon.
All right, we're back. Good interview with David.
David Cucciolapati.
He's the man.
He's the man.
That was pre-recorded.
Yeah, of course.
Which means, you know.
Which means you're going to record it later. We actually have no idea how it went at this point.
Yeah, so, but I know it's good.
Yeah, you're recording it in what, like an hour.
I'm going to brag about him for a little bit. He's been great in every way. He, you know, he is younger in the whole thing. He's new to business.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't shy away from anything. He's reliable in every way. Yeah, I don't want to puff his head up too much because he's...
we should probably slow down a little bit.
So
yeah.
I got to be rough on him, and I want to teach him all the hard ways of business. But you can count on him. That is a big thing to say. When you can say, I can count on him, you can count on David.
And I think really, at this point, that's one of the biggest things you can say, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're all learning lots of stuff every day. So the fact that you don't have everything in your pocket when you walk into the room doesn't matter. It's the fact that you're willing to show up every day and try to find it.
Yep. Perfect. Couldn't say better. All right, we're moving on to our last segment, which is questions. Now, I was watching football.
Okay.
Watching the Eagles game.
Yeah, I watched that game.
A couple of friends came over, mm-hmm. and they are cleats and cufflinks fans. So they
crazy
said,
world.
Crazy world. Who knew? Yeah. I found them. And they wanted shout-outs. Their question was, can we get a shout-out on Cleats and Cufflinks?
All right.
And the answer is no.
Yeah, clearly not.
So they're going to have to work a whole lot harder. No, so, but look,
they could sponsor us.
Let's talk about this. They showed up to my house. I cooked them chili. A nice chili.
That's classic football food.
I had some nice bread to go with it.
Did you do a ground meat chili? A chopped sirloin? What do you...
No, just your basic McCormick's chili.
McCormick's.
I McCormick's it.
You come out of the little
now. Look,
little packet thing.
Don't give me your attitude. You think you're
no?
So,
I'm just asking.
You're so much
I'm
better
just
than
asking
people
how you did it.
Do things that are hard.
What did you microwave it? Is that how you cooked it?
That's what I did. Put it in a Tupperware and just spun it around.
Just spun around.
Look, I knew you're going to give me crap. But look, I chopped up some jalapenos.
Okay. So you brought yourself to the
McCormick's. I did a nice ground beef.
You brought a little bit of you.
Yeah, I put a little.
You snatered it up.
Exactly.
All right.
Now,
like 80% lean.
80% lean.
80% lean. Nice. Yeah.
They didn't bring beer. They didn't bring any drinks.
Wait, who comes to a house and doesn't bring beer for football?
One of them was wearing Giants colors.
Okay. What?
Okay. So why would I give them a shout out?
Who are They've your friends?
So anyway, they're not getting a shout out yet.
Yeah.
So they need to understand that to get a shout out in a prestigious show, such as Cleats and Cufflinks, right? Look at this. I mean, you have a giant head of Morgan Hibbert behind you. If you're not watching this on video, you're just crazy.
Yeah, this is big brother.
So for answer to first question, no, you don't get a shout out. You got to work for that. Second question is, we've gotten this question quite a bit. We got it from Coach Smolinski.
Smolinski, yeah.
And plenty of people.
Constantly. Yeah.
It doesn't seem so much anymore. But anyway, they say, how are you... who's going to be around in 5 years? You or the AUDL, right?
Yeah.
And
we're doing this just as a question, not as a segment, because you know this could take some telling, maybe.
And it's really tough to answer. It's like, what am I going to tell you? Yeah. And I think that telling you about us and what we're doing is, I don't think it's effective here. I think because you see the brand we put together. You see what we do.
Mm-hmm.
You see the limitations we have in terms of budget money and where we allocate it. You see the struggles that it is for an early sports league. But I think on the whole, most people see that the MLU is a well-put-together brand that marches forward. And we fix problems every single year, every single month. We fix problems. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of all of our people that do that because it's way beyond here. It's the people we have. What I think, to answer this question, is, and I don't know the specifics, and you would think that I follow the AUDL more, but I don't. I don't have the time to be quite honest.
It hasn't been that easy either.
Yeah.
I find that I don't have a clear idea what goes on there, particularly in some of the smaller markets of their teams.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I'll listen. I mean, I'm not, don't turn my ears off. They're the other league out there. But someone showed me the quote from their president that said, by 2018, we're looking to have between, I don't remember, 32 and 36 teams, right? So if you want to, if you want to take your bids, do you think that a league that has a trajectory of 32 to 36, that doesn't even know the number, which is interesting to me. That's a whole discussion. Let's just go with 32. They have 32 teams in 2018, which would make them bigger than the NBA. Am I right? How many teams does the NBA have, Greg, and NFL?
NFL is 32.
32.
NBA, I think, is 30.
Okay, so they'll be there either as big or bigger than the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer,
NHL.
Do you think that that's going to work? And if you do, then you can then go ahead and decide, then choose that you think the ADL is going to be bigger and better and around at the end.
Yeah, I think there are 100 differences between the two organizations, but I think you're right to point to this as a key differentiator. The pattern of growth that they have is very, very aggressive. And unlike those leagues that you mentioned, the depth of the pockets behind them are not quite at the level of the NFL, the NBA, and these leagues that have grown over many, many years to the size that they are today.
If we think about the NFL has a number of billion-dollar owners, and all the rest are multi-million dollar owners.
Multi-hundred million dollars.
I don't know how to say that.
Multi-hundred million dollars?
The MLS, Glazer was behind it, right, before his passing, right? I mean, a billionaire.
Yeah, I mean, he owned the, which team did he own? No, he owned Manchester United. Oh, that was EPL. Okay. But yeah, no, they.
I thought he, oh no, he, we're talking about Kraft.
Kraft to the New England Revolution, yeah.
Mark Cuban, NBA, billionaire.
Right.
And they are 30 teams. There are 30 teams or less. NHL. What is NHL? 28 teams? 26 teams?
All except the NFL of 30.
All 30. Oh,
okay. And the MLS is at 20 now. Yeah.
So.
Or about to be 20.
I think it's about to be 20 because of Beckham's.
With Beckham's ridiculous deal that he got.
So you have billionaire investors who can't get to 31 because it doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because it's that hard. And it's plain and simple for me is, teams are not successful. Leagues are successful. You can't have two good teams. You have to have all good teams. And that isn't from record. It's from the entire brand put together. So you have to look at the two and the trajectory. By 2018, we will have 10 teams, maybe 12. We'll move that slowly. And it will be in line and trajectory with what others have done to get to the path of having billion-dollar owners. And that's the path we've chosen.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ways to think about it is this. As we build the league and as we build toward where we want to be, teams in reality are an expense. Each team you add adds expense and also adds that multiplier of any errors or mistakes. Right, as we talked about before. Mm-hmm. If you make a mistake, it's times nine.
It's times nine.
So each time you add a team, until you reach a certain point, each time you add a team, you're adding expense and you're adding challenges. And while we all want to have a few more teams here, a few more teams there, just from a purely kind of a storyline mentality, I think the way that we look at it and the way that we differ from the ADL is from a business perspective. We're trying to do the thing that makes the most sense to propel us forward. And we don't want to go forward and back. We don't want to go to 14 teams and then back to 12 teams. You know, each time a franchise closes, it's bad. You know, if you've ever looked into buying a franchise, you know, not in a sports franchise, but like a Starbucks or a McDonald's, there's actually a pretty careful vetting process of your plan for that franchise and what you want to do with it. Because no organization wants to see locations open and then close immediately, open and then close immediately. Because anything that happens in one franchise or one element of an organization reflects on the whole. Mm-hmm. And we believe very strongly in the integrity of the brand and of the league. And we think that the trajectory of our growth is the best way to preserve the quality of that brand.
On the head.
And that's what we're betting on.
Yeah. And if we're wrong, we're fine with that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I mean, we've met with owners who have way more money than any of you and any of us. You know, we've met with guys who've been up at the top. And we've talked about all things MLU and Ultimate Frisbee. Now, we haven't met one business owner in sports. We haven't met one business owner, period. But we haven't met one business owner in sports that has even given our competition a second thought once they heard their trajectory. So, you know, we're very confident with what we're doing. But that's the question you would ask yourself about who you're betting on, and you go from there. But that's why we really just stay focused on what we do. It's so different, such a different mentality. All right. Let's move on.
Let's move on.
We're running out of time. This is a question you wanted to ask our listeners.
Yeah, so we haven't done this, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Asked a specific question. So this is a question. We're going to, you know, occasionally do this. So I'm going to ask a question. We'd love to get your answers at Cleats Cufflinks or at Jeff Snader or at Nick with no K, darling. And the question is this. So I've heard really often, particularly since we started the MLU, but also before that, that one of the biggest benefits of Ultimate is self-officiation, and that benefit most particularly applies toward youth. So my question that and you know, it sounds good in a way, like people, you hear it and you're like, oh yeah, it's good for kids, you know. For some reason it's always stated as an obvious thing. My question is, why specifically in your mind, if you believe this, why is self-officiation good for kids? What are the reasons?
Yeah.
Because I've never heard an argument that I found compelling. And I don't know if it's because people haven't felt the need to make an argument or if it's because the argument doesn't actually exist. And I would love to know. And this is why I want this
and
question.
And you can email us at cleatsandcufflinks@mlultimate.com. Cleats and cufflinks. That's all spelled out A-N-D in the end. If you want to, you know,
a little bit longer answer would be.
Yeah, if you want to give us a longer answer as to why self-officiation is good for kids. And I'm going to go with Nick. No one's ever given me an argument. Most people, when I ask them, they're not prepared. They're like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I thought that was true.
So that's true. So,
and I know that people out there have arguments, and I'm actually very, very interested in hearing this. This is, you know, this is something I would very much like to hear, and we'd like to know more about.
Yeah, and we are getting involved big time with youth and the states.
Yeah.
Getting them to, you know, recognize Ultimate Frisbee. And I'll tell you right now, we're a force because we are, prepared a fantastic position paper, which we'll share soon, about the rules of Ultimate Frisbee and what should be chosen. And I'm pleased to say, everybody we've given it to, some people have said it's been paradigm shifting, right? Said that they read it and they realized, oh, so there's certain things I thought that just were incorrect. And there's certain ways we need to think about when dealing with youth and schools, competition, all those things that we need to realize that, you know, are just different than what maybe is being spouted out of, you know, your mouth right now. You know, things that you thought things that you thought just might not be. And so we're going to start with this because this is going to be
is going to be the beginning of an ongoing discussion. I mean, obviously, we believe Ultimate is the best sport that can be added to varsity programs in high schools, particularly with the challenges that we're seeing with both budgets and with injuries. You know, Ultimate provides a great avenue forward, and there's going to be some key questions that come up when it starts to get introduced at that level, and this is one of them.
Yep.
Is there a way in you, the listener's mind, to defend self-officiation as a positive for youth, as something that's very important to keep? And if so, what is the real argument behind it, and how do you defend that argument? Because I think it's very important.
Yeah, because if Ultimate Frisbee in high school, let's just go high school, is going to have self-officiation, you better have a good argument.
Yeah.
Because you have a whole team of people here arguing the other way, and our argument's real good, and it's backed up by every other sport doing the same thing. So, not to say, I mean, maybe I'm...
You're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
But I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to make a big statement about it, I want to know why it's so good. And if you make a good enough statement that we would get behind it, maybe we would get behind it. But you got to someone's got to tell us why.
I want to be sold on it. Is what it comes down to.
Me too.
And I think I want to be sold on it in the same way that an athletic director who's worried about their job and liability and all that stuff wants to be sold on it.
Yep.
I think we have the same kind of approach. And so I think if you can sell us, then you can sell the world. So let's hear about it.
Let's hear about it. All right. Till next time. We'll come back next week or the week after. We'll figure that out. Nick might get sick.
You never know. I have a tendency toward it.
We'll do it next time. We'll do it in your bedroom.
There you go.
That sounds terrible.
Terrible. Let's never do that.
Horrible. All right. Next week.
Jeffrey.
Nicholas.